Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, the third hour now upon us in the Political Cesspool radio program, AM 1380 WLRN Radio, our flagship station where we sit tonight, Saturday, June 12th. 2010. I'm James Edwards. Now joining me in the studio, co-hosting with me for this final hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, as we broadcast to our AM/FM affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting on the internet at our internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out, and libertynewsradio.com. If you can't catch us live, the broadcast archives are always there. We've covered a lot of ground tonight during the first 2 hours. As always, Keith Alexander with me for the first hour, where we focus primarily on my new book, Racism, Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R-Word to Push the Obama Agenda, available for sale at racismbook.com, also available through Amazon. But for more information, go to www.racismbook.com. During the second hour, Winston Smith and I talked a little bit more about the Tim Adams bombshell, a story that broke right here on the Political Cesspool last week, where we were live remotely in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference. Tim Adams claiming to have evidence that Barack Obama has no long-form birth certificate in Hawaii. He claims to know that because he was, and it has been proven that he was, a chief senior elections clerk in Honolulu, Hawaii, during the 2008 presidential campaign. Now, since he broke that news on the Political Cesspool, it has gone viral on the internet. WorldNet Daily and many other sources have picked it up and run with it. There is definitely some smoke to that fire, and you heard it here first on the Liberty News Radio Network, the Political Cesspool radio program. So we covered all of that and more. Very entertaining segment we had right before the commercial break at the top of the last hour. Bobby Lee, the mouth of the South, host of Conspiracy Facts on AM 1340 WTAN in Tampa, was with Winston Smith and I for about a half hour. We talked about immigration and other matters. Now joining me, as I just mentioned, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, you pointed out to me right before we came on the air a couple of seconds ago that this is the most ominous week in American history. It's a week that we know quite well because 2 years ago, in June of 2008, we had three surviving crewmen of the USS Liberty, Gary Brummett, Ron Kukol, and Phil Turney were on the show 2 years ago. It's still available in the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you don't know what I'm referring to, of course, the anniversary of when Israel attacked the USS Liberty unprovoked. It was a reconnaissance ship. They were flying the American flag, and for whatever reason, Israeli fighter planes came and just absolutely, laid fire to them, killing many American seamen. And that story has been told many times over the past decades. We heard it here live from some of the surviving members of the USS Liberty 2 years ago this week. Check that out in the broadcast archive for June 2008 at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But, Eddie, certainly an anniversary that you commemorate. Can you hear me, Ed?
James?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I could barely hear it. Normally I get you loud and clear. I'm barely hearing you. But, yeah, my good brother, my younger brother in arms, Winston Smith. And matter of fact, I would like to apologize to Winston. I spoke to my brother just today, and the sucker didn't mention having a near heart attack. I feel like such an idiot now because I didn't know he had a cardiac event. And it sounds like he came pretty close because I don't know. He didn't name the artery in his heart that was blocked. But there's several of them in there. If they become completely occluded, it's over with, man. You know, and you're gone. And you know, I know Winston was talking about the symptoms. Well, you know, many times the symptoms you don't know. They're, you know, sometimes you have the standard symptoms, but they're not always the same. But sometimes the very first symptom is death, especially in Winston's age. You know, he's not nearly as old as I, and a lot of times fellas in their, you know, 40s like that, they just keel over dead, and there's no pain, nothing. But I would like to apologize to for Winston, because, you know, I would have been the first to call him, and I hope he's listening now, because if he's not, I'll call him after the show and apologize. But here I was talking about some stuff that I didn't even, you know, he didn't even mention heart attack. I was complaining about the problems I've been having this week. But, yeah, Winston wrote a really... You know how Winston always mixes humor with fact. He had an excellent blog on the attack on the Turkish flag ship. You know, the humanitarian relief ship that was going to Gaza to try to help give some relief to these several million Arabs that are trapped by the Israelis. To see what's going on is the Israelis are trying to starve them out and try to run them out of Gaza because they want to go in there and illegally occupy that entire territory. So this ship, you know, the ship was a Turkish ship. It was like the Mavi, if I can pronounce it right. The name of the ship they attacked was the Mavi Marmara. It's M-A-V-I-M-A-R-M-A-R-A. Not that it makes any difference. But here we have, like Winston points out, folks, here we have these Israeli commandos coming out of the blue, attacking at night. They throw smoke, you know, tear gas grenades and percussion grenades that can very well kill you. They go in guns a-blazing. They kill, I've heard anywhere from 15 to 25 victims that were shot dead, including one of them. Well, one of the victims was an American teenager. He was shot in the head. They said at a range at less than 20 inches. He was shot a total of five times. They shot 20 other Turks, and people were talking about crew members that were totally unarmed. There were no firearms on that ship. And hey, get this: the Jewish, the Israeli media is coming out and spinning it. They're saying, well, the Israeli commandos were attacked with butcher knives and hammers and monkey wrenches and things like that that you would find on any, you know, any normal vessel at sea. But they attacked them in international waters. And so I thought that was, it kind of, you know, kind of rung a bell with me, make a red flag go up. It reminded me of the anniversary on the Liberty. The way these Israelis can get by with murder, the Jewish elite can get by with murder. And yet they won. And on Winston's blog, he points out that the 89-year-old Washington reporter, who's been working in the White House, James, since the Reagan years, actually goes all the way back to the Nixon years. And, you know, and you have to read the blog. Folks, I would highly encourage you to go to Winston Smith's blog and read it, because it's not only is it informative, it's very funny. And he said that apparently... this 89-year-old's, words, he's telling Israel that they need to get out of Palestine, which they really do. Evidently, that is more, that's hate speech that's more dangerous and causes more harm than the hot lead fired into the bodies of the 16 to 20 dead, humanitarian workers on the ship, James. So I thought that was really newsworthy to point out. And yet, James, at the same time, these people are getting by with murder like that, and Barry Satoru, a.k.a. Obama, while he's sitting there crucifying this poor 89-year-old lady, he lets these international terrorists get by with murder.
Yeah, what was her name? Was it Harriet Myers? Is that who I'm thinking of?
You know, I didn't get her name. I wanted to go to the computer and read the blog, but I was on a portable phone, a mobile phone, and I couldn't hear you any at all on that mobile phone, so I had to leave the computer And I wanted to read it straight off Wentz's blog because I thought it was so great. I only wished I could write like Wentz. I mean, he did a marvelous job.
Well, you're going to have to hold on if you're going to read an article because we're coming up on break. And we'll pick it up where we leave where we're leaving off, Eddie the Bombardier, and that is comparing and contrasting the most recent attack on an unarmed vessel with that, of course, of the much more serious, much more concerning attack that Israel launched on one of our ships, the United States ship Liberty, back in the 60s, and that's celebrating an anniversary, not celebrating, but an anniversary of that event is happening this week. So we'll talk more about it when we return. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, third and final hour. In case you're just tuning in, don't forget, got a brand new book out. Racism Schmacism. Check it out at racismbook.com. Order your copy today. I heard a rumor that Jack McLamb might be coming on the show tonight. Denny, is that true? Did we get Jack, or is that no Jack tonight? Jack McLamb, we didn't know if he was going to make it or not. Apparently not. Now, Eddie, before we went into that last break, you were making mention of the fact that Winston Smith has an absolutely sizzling blog entry out there pertaining to the Israeli attack on the humanitarian aid ship. This was a story, of course, from a couple of weeks ago. We're just now getting around to it here on the cesspool. We've been quite busy, but this also is occurring very close to the anniversary that occurred over 40 years ago now of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. Eddie, what did our co-host and friend Winston have to say on his blog about this attack?
Well, I'm going to read that, but before I read it, James, you know what? It's just like it's just rubbing our noses in it. I mean, it seems like a coincidence that this happens so close to the anniversary of the SS Liberty. I mean, it just seems too much of a coincidence to me, and it's just like they're just flaunting it in our face and saying, so what? You know, we don't care if you like it or not. We're going to do what you want to do, what we want to do. Well, here it goes, folks. And our brother Winston wrote this this blog, and it says, they wonder why nobody likes them. Israeli stormtroopers murder 16 aid workers and injure 50 others, and Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama, and his thugs pretty much sit on their thumbs and run interference for the terrorist state. But when an 89-year-old woman criticizes Israel for the murders, that crosses the line. So the Sotero Obama gang follow the lead of ADL bigot Abe Foxman and lashes out at her because her words, after all, were far more offensive than the hot lead that the Israeli stormtroopers pumped into those aid workers. That old woman could start another Holocaust. The woman apologizes, but as predictably as the sunrise, her employers fire her anyway. I know the report says she resigned, but go ahead and believe that if it makes you feel better. And the twice dead sons of the synagogue of Satan grin like the cat that ate the canary and congratulate themselves that they've got Obama by the nads. And they wonder why nobody likes them. I think that's a short blog. It's short, to the point, sweet. It tells it like it is, James.
Well,
these murdering thugs can get by with anything they want to get by with. And yet they come after people like us, James, and try to put us in prison.
We just had Winston Smith on.
And after reading that block, I'd like to
last hour.
I would like also to tell people about this article
our brother
that I read in America Free Press, May 10th, 2010 edition. It's about this outspoken dissident who's been put in jail, James. I don't know if you're aware of that. There's a guy And by the way, the article was written by Willis A. Carto. I think he's been on the cesspool. And Michael Collins Piper.
Right,
there's
yeah,
a guy in Richmond, Virginia. His name was William White. He's a real successful businessman. And he's an outspoken white activist. And the reason he was targeted is because he's a website designer, and he programs computers. And evidently, he's been really stepping on some toes up there in Richmond, Virginia, because he slandered some of the same people that are after us all the time, folks. It's the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center. But this guy here, is like to point out, what he did, there was no violence at all involved in what he did. And, he didn't commit a hate crime is defined as the definition of a hate crime. They said that a hate crime is a crime or crimes of violence accompanied by racial or religious slurs or reference to sexual orientation. None of that happened. Well, the ADL was spearheaded by this guy named Mike Potok. He's a spokesman for the ADL.
Mark Potok
in the SPLC. They spearheaded this attack against him, and the mainstream newspaper, Richmond, Virginia, were out to get him too. But they sentenced him. He's having to do 2.5 years in prison, and he's on probe. And after he gets out of prison too, when you go to a federal jail, you do every month at that time. There's not going to be any probation. It's 2.5 years of hard time in a federal penitentiary for hate speech, folks. Like I said, I'd like to impress again, once again, he didn't do any, there was no physical harm to anybody. He was just voicing his opinion over the Internet, like we do, James, like you've done with your book. But that's the price he paid for exercising his First Amendment. And these people are saying that they're pretty much, they said that this sets a precedent. It says that the First Amendment doesn't go for people like Bill White, who are hate mongers. And so, James, my question to you is, who's going to define, what is hate speech? Is it just for somebody like us ourselves when we're white? Is it only when a white person voices their opinion that it becomes a hate crime? All the while, blacks and Zionist Jews can put out as much hate, as much filth against us as they want to, just totally, and it go totally harassed, unpenalized.
What it is, Ed, but I will tell you this with regard to some of this, and this is advice that we have shared before that should be taken to heart by everyone in our audience. Absolutely no violence. No threats of violence, not even if you're joking. Don't do it on the Internet. Don't do it through letter. Don't do it over the phone. Don't do it in private conversation. No violence whatsoever. Do everything above board. Try to be as professional as you can, as polished as you can. No vulgarities. Be a gentleman as we wage this war. And you can be a gentleman warrior in this culture war and in fighting in the court of public opinion. I mean, there were a lot of things about Bill White that were certainly a suspect. And I never did know him personally, but he was certainly someone that was a provocateur in many ways. And I don't know if he committed any crimes just because he's been alleged and maybe even now convicted of certain crimes. I don't know, but certainly he didn't conduct himself in the same manner that we like our listeners to do. And that's with all due respect to him, because I hate to see anybody go to jail. And I don't know that much about his case, so I'm certainly not passing judgment. But there are a lot of things about his activism that I wanted to keep at distance from ourselves. I never met him, never spoke with him, but just in reading some of the things about the Internet, I mean, that's not the way I think our people should go about certain things. And that's just my personal opinion. Now, if he was truly guilty of no crime, and his only crime, if you want to call it that, was behaving in outlandish ways, then certainly that's something that shouldn't be punishable by jail time. And it is true, as Eddie said, that it is only hate speech if a conservative or right-of-center European-American is speaking out on issues, whereas other minority groups can get away with saying and doing much, much more, and it'll never raise the eyebrow of anyone in a position of authority. But again, to everyone out there, you know, never associate with anyone who is behaving in a manner that makes you feel uncomfortable. That's just the best advice I can give you. Conduct yourself. You got to be as clean as a preacher's sheet, as the old saying goes, and that's certainly the way we try to do things here. And that's the way the people that we work with goes about accomplishing their things. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more, though, right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, continuing on with the show, going to take a quick call from Terry in Arkansas. You're on the line. Terry.
Yes.
All right, you're on the line, my friend. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to say hi to Eddie.
Well, hey, Harry, how you doing? So, what an honor, fellas. Hello to you. What part of Arkansas are you calling from?
Mr. Bill Clinton's drug-dealing town.
Hey, I've been to Arkansas. You know, my parents, listen, my mother's people were originally from Logan County, Arkansas, so I'm sure you probably know where that is. That's way over in western Arkansas.
My
grandfather came down to this part of the country, came down to the Delta in 1924, and he was a real sure enough hellraiser. He was an old Confederate, and so welcome, a fellow Arkansan.
I want to say hi to a medical man that was, you know, that I've been listening to you for a long time. I just never phoned in. My parents came from Ireland, grandparents came from Ireland to Athens, Georgia, and went into the Confederate Army the very day they got here.
Wow, that's something. My grandfather was an old Irishman. Now he wasn't old enough to fight in the in Lincoln's War. He was born in 1884, but he was very much a hellraiser, and as most people from western Arkansas are, or at least they were in those days. However, he was in the Arkansas State Militia. Before the militia became, you know, an evil word. But he was very proud of serving in the Arkansas State Militia. He told me many tales about it. They would go on field training exercises in Texas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Terry, Eddie, let me interject here, just a point of reference for those in our listening audience from other parts of the country beyond the Mason-Dixon line. If you're having a hard time understanding what's taking place right here, we have a caller in Arkansas named Terry, who has called in to say hello to Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and now they're talking. What we call this in the South is porch talk. This is called here in the South porch talk, and that's what happens when you have two people who have never met before. They can come together and just start talking about family and culture and anything else as if they have known each other their whole lives. You are witnessing a live manifestation of that on the air right now here in the Political Cesspool. This is pure, unadulterated Southern porch talk taking place live on the radio right now between Terry, our listener, and Eddie, my co-host. And this is just a cultural phenomenon that you can only find here in Dixie. But I wanted to add that little point of reference. Gentlemen, please continue.
Well, that's why. Thank you very much, James. You know, hey, by the way, James, I got to tell you what. Never mind. I'll tell you later after the show what me and Winston said about you today.
Anyway, again, we are on the air. I know we're having some porch talk here, but since we are on the radio, gentlemen, remember that this is still governed by the FCC, so let's keep it clean. Terry, I do want to thank you for calling in. Anything else you'd like to say in parting?
Yeah, I just want to tell James, he's a good man, but he's a young buck, so he's not important anymore.
All right. Well,
yeah, James, young Buck. We've been kind of learning these old Southern ways.
I'm getting learned by the Bombardier. He's
the man.
The Bombardier has. So
yeah.
Thank you, Terry, for the call. Always good to hear from another great Southerner from our border state, Arkansas, not too far, right across the river here in Memphis. So thank you for the call, Terry. Eddie, and you know what I. It's true, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you take a phone call on this radio program. That was some authentic Southern porch talk. And, you know, and other people in other parts of the country, maybe even other parts of the world, can't relate to that. But that is something that is natural occurring down here. We can just run into another Southerner, and if the chemistry is there and it clicks, I mean, you can just get into a very open and honest conversation about your family and tradition, and it's just 100% real.
Yes, it is. You know, my grandfather was like that. Everybody said that my grandfather could talk, to a signpost. They said that a stranger was just a friend he hadn't met yet. So evidently, Perry is just like his fellow Arkansan, my now deceased grandfather. Rest his soul, I love him to death, but he was a hell raiser. I guess that's where I got my streak from him and my father's father. But, you know, it's really an honor to get a call from him, James. It certainly is. Hey, before, James, I know we've been having connection problems, but before we go, I'd like to tell the people that I spoke with former Senator John DeCamp today, like I was telling you over the air, and I was asking him about this Georgia State Congress lady. Her name is Nancy Schaefer. I believe she was probably the founder of the Eagle Forum. If not the founder, she was one of the founders. Listen, she was getting ready to release, and hopefully we'll talk about this in a week or two to come with John DeCamp, because people, you know, he wrote a book. He investigated all this child trafficking, pedophilia rings, sexual exploitation, teenage pornography, and even organ harvesting. John DeCamp was in that up to his eyeballs over in Nebraska. This happened in Georgia. He's kind of familiar with this case a little bit. This lady, like I say, she was a Georgia congressman, and she was getting ready to release a documentary on this, this stuff that's going on in Georgia. And she said that the Child Protective Agency was probably the most evil segment of the United States government that ever has been. But anyway, maybe we can cover that in the future, James. We'll do a complete investigation on that. But her and her husband both were shot and killed in their bed inside her own home.
And I'd like to get a little more information about that before we talk about it. But of course, Senator John DeCamp is someone who has been on the program before, someone we have some respect for. So we'll dig deeper into that, and if he can make himself available to give us the facts, and we'll see if that's worth looking. I mean, certainly if someone was murdered, it's worth looking into. But I haven't heard of that yet. It's the only reason I'm.
Well, you know, one thing that jumps out to me, James, is like we always say, the silence from the so-called mainstream media on this case has been deafening. I hadn't heard a word about it over the mainstream media because, James, you know, you and I know, and all the people in the cesspool know, we know that the Washington, D.C., they don't call it Sodom on the Potomac for nothing. I mean, that place is just infested with the most horrible characters, you know, that you could ever imagine. They're just the reprobates. They're this dregs of society. We have sodomites there and child molesters, Satan worshipers. I mean, you name it, they're there in Washington, D.C. You know, it's worse. If they're worse there than any fictional textbook anybody could ever write. Like I say, John DeCamp, we get him on. He knows all about this stuff, and maybe we can get him on in the future. But can you still hear me okay, James?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, good deal. Well, I thought that would be something good in the future. Hey, guess who? I didn't get a chance to read the book. I'm ashamed to say it, but, you know, James, I had my battles, and you know who we're talking about. I've been battling these people in court all last week, and I had two doctor's appointments yesterday. It's been really a hell week for me. Evidently not as bad as my little brother Winston's, though. But
the only people that pull strength are me and Keith and Bill. Although Bill and I did go to the honky tonk in Nashville after the show last week, so he wasn't doing too good at about, you know, 3 a.m. Sunday morning. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah, you do. You know, I just wish I'd have read the book, but I guarantee you I will read it.
Eddie Bobbitt is now admitting that he hasn't read my book, even though I gave it to him on...
I promise I'm going to.
Tuesday?
You know, You know what? I would love to be able to buy a case of these books and distribute it to the local tea parties here, because, you know, I called you in the Brother Keith's conversation on the first hour, and you made excellent points with the tea parties, and it just sours me on the tea parties. And anybody that knows that listens to this program, James, they know that I'm real active in these patriot groups. My favorite group is the Oath Keepers. As far as the so-called patriot groups, you know, of course, I'm a Cesspoolian through and through, first and foremost. But the Oath Keepers, they're not shy. Some of these other groups are not shy at all. But for some reason, the Tea Parties think they have to get this feedback from the minorities. They have to be they can't be validated by some son of Abraham or some black that, you know, they just they don't have a right to exist. They have to have that, or to make themselves legitimate, to have credibility.
Course, Eddie, that's something that we talk about in great length in the book. Not to be repetitive or redundant, but we talk about it in the book. You know, it doesn't matter how many of these people you tried out. And it's certainly okay if you have friends that are outside of our own racial group. I mean, most people do, and that's fine. But to trot them out as a way to validate yourself, if you don't have more confidence in your argument than that, then there's something wrong. And again, you're never going to win that argument to begin with. But we're going to talk more about it in closing right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I don't know how this happens, but another 3 hours has almost come and gone. Here we are now in the final segment of tonight's live broadcast of Saturday, June 12th, 2010. Should say, and I'll probably remind you of this, because for whatever reason, we always celebrated birthdays in my family. It was always a very big deal. I only have one brother, a younger brother, but my parents always went all out. And when it became the month of our birthday, when the calendar flipped to the month that our birthday was in, we would start getting excited. Now, a lot of time has passed since those days, but every year when my birthday gets a little bit closer, I still get that twinkle in my eyes. And Bombardier Eddie, my birthday is coming up, a pretty big one this year. June 22nd, I will have been here for 30 years. I was 24 when we started the show, now 30. Time, not that I'm old, and I'm not, but time does go by fast.
I'm telling you, it's funny that you mentioned that, because, hey, some more Southern Porch talk for you Yankees out there that might be tuning in. You know, James, I was thinking about it just today while I was listening to you and Keith and Winston. We need to get, like, you know, a little birthday Rolodex or something for people in the Cesspool members and some of our favorite listeners and people like that, you know, people like... Dr. Cummings down there in Ripley, people like that, you know, people like Dr. Duke. I don't know his birthday. Don Black, Derek Black, you know, people that we all know, people that all of our listeners are familiar with. It'd be great. We need to do something for people. And hey, listen, you're not getting out of me taking you out for your birthday, because you took me out for mine, and I don't know Keith's birthday. So we'll have to find that out.
We gotta compile the birthdays of everybody on our staff, some of our favorite guests, and most loyal listeners, and at least send out a card to everybody. I mean, this is something I'm all about, building community, and I'm all about sharing good fellowship with one another. Of course, we do that here on our staff, Eddie, as you well know, and I think as the listening audience would also know. But, I mean, that should also be extended to everyone out there. I mean, everybody likes to get a birthday card. Everybody likes to, for someone to make mention of their birthday when it rolls around each year. It's an important day. It's fun stuff. Makes you kind of harken back to your childhood. And I still get excited about it, even though we have no big plans this year. It's not like mom and dad are going to be buying me a birthday cake or anything like that, but it's still fun to have birthdays, and it's still fun to have an excuse. I guess more than anything, it just gives you an occasion to want to be around your friends or to invite your friends over, to go out to eat, just to share time in the spirit of good fellowship and camaraderie. And so that's always exciting, and so I guess we'll be doing that here in Memphis. But, you know, perhaps we should extend that as well to some other people out there. So I guess, I don't know, this is just coming to us on the fly. This isn't anything that has been scripted. But if you have a birthday and you want us to remember it, send us an email. We'll send you a card. If you have a birthday coming up, friend or family member, I know a book that would make a good gift for them. Or if you want to give me a present for my birthday, buy my book. And, of course, the proceeds of that will go to help keep this radio program on the air, which is a gift to everyone every day. That we broadcast. So, anyway, Ed, we found a way to shamelessly plug ourselves in that soliloquy just did, I think.
Well, by the way, I've been known to mail birthday cakes and cheesecakes. Matter of fact, I've sent cheesecake all the way to Missoula, Montana. You remember we had Jack Hooker on one time, Jack and Karen Hooker, I guess he's the dean of big game outfitters in the West.
He's well known.
He's probably the most expert horse and mule man in the West nowadays. He's so famous that the Forest Service they hire him, about pretty much yearly for a time to teach them how to pack mules, how to load them up. So I sent him a cheesecake. So if some enterprising soul, James, was want to send you a cake, what's your favorite kind?
I do like cheesecake. I can't lie to you about that. I like chocolate cake, strawberry cake. I used to like a lot of icing, but I ate too much icing on one particular birthday and got sick. So I've never been big on icing since then, but I can do a little light icing. Cheesecake's good. I don't know. I have to think about that. I really like brownies, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. Hey, and speaking of birthdays, Ed, let me remind you of this. You were talking about the big game hunting. Well, back before we got syndicated, back when the political festival was still climbing up the talk radio ladder before we got picked up by the network here, Liberty News Radio, we were broadcasting 5 nights a week. And when we were broadcasting 5 nights a week, which we did from 2004 until 2008, and in December of 2008, we got picked up by the network, and we've been here ever since. But one of those nights, I had a birthday, and I was out of the studio that night. We took the night off, my wife and I did. We went out, and you hosted the show that evening in my place, Eddie. You had the whole show to yourself. And that entire show, on my birthday, you talked about nothing except you're going up to Montana and going hunting. The whole show was about Eddie Miller going hunting in Montana. It was 2 hours. I think we were on 2 hours at the time. 2 hours about Eddie talking about going up to Montana, what equipment he used, where he went hunting, how he got sick, this, that, and the other. But it was a good show. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, because we are very real here. And as much as we love to talk about the issues that animate us to take action, we also love to just share with you our personalities and different character qualities and traits. And every now and then, I think you get the feel for who we are behind the scenes. And we certainly let that come out as much as possible in our broadcast. But I got to tell you one more thing, Eddie. Since we're on the subject of birthdays, we put this on the blog this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's not a birthday, but it is an anniversary. Rush Limbaugh just got married again. His fourth time. Can you believe that? Rush Limbaugh just got married for the fourth time, and guess who sang at his wedding? Guess who he paid $1 million to come and be the entertainment?
I think he was Elton John, one of the premier sodomites of the universe.
Eddie, you are absolutely right. Elton John is correct. That's true. Mr. Conservative, Rush Limbaugh, actually paid $1 million to have the sodomite who recently said, and we covered this on the show, that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was a homosexual. This is the man Elton John paid to sing at his fourth wedding. And let's talk about being married four times and the pervert that claims Jesus was a homosexual. All of this, of course, because Rush is about traditional conservative values, of course. And anyway, so that's the story. It says the Rocket Man, 63 years old, serenaded 400 guests to celebrate the marriage of Rush Limbaugh, 59 years old, to his 33-year-old fourth wife in Ponce de Leon, Florida. Ballroom at a hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. So anyway, the conservative traditional values, Rush Limbaugh pays $1 million to the pervert who said Jesus was a homosexual to sing at his wedding. That's what you can get from them. What you can get from us is, well, what you've come to expect every week. We have delivered the same product to you. I think we've bettered our delivery, and we've become a little more polished in the way we present the show to you. Of course, after 6 years, you would expect some logical progression, but we've given you a solid product day in, day out for 6 years. We have represented ourselves with consistency. We have stood the test of time, and we've got the scars to prove it. And we're proud of it. We're proud to be the genuine article. You've got so many frauds out there like Rush Limbaugh, but you'll never have to worry about getting betrayed by James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Here in the political cesspool, you know you can bank on us. And we hope that you'll support us and continue to support us. Of course, we hope that you'll buy the book, racismbook.com. But, Eddie, I'll give you the final word because we're just about out of time.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't think we can match his Rush Limbaugh's bank account, but this may seem kind of funny. I guess in a way it is. We were talking about the political cesspool's bank account just last week, James. If I remember right, I think we have $1,000 in our bank account compared to Rush. And Rush Limbaugh can spend $1 million for a singer to come sing at his wedding. You know, if we had $1 million for the cesspool, we would conquer the Milky Way galaxy. That's just incredible.
I don't think there's anybody. I don't think there's any conservative entity in the world today that has done as much with so little as we have. I mean, you look at it. I mean, the book is one thing. You look at the guests we've had. So many times this show has been a part of national news, my CNN appearances, all the great things we've done, all the news articles. We've been a media magnet. We've commanded so much attention, been attacked so often, and through it all, we have built a very, very big audience. We've worked our way up from one affiliate station to network syndication. This show is going places. We are on a rapidly ascending trajectory, and we have done it really off nickels and dimes. We'll talk about it more. Thank you for supporting us. We'll see you next week. God bless you, everybody.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.